Welcome, seekers, to a very special night, the last installment of my Hurricane Spectacular.
The program you are about to hear, Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
Tonight, Chapter 17, the final chapter, Judgment Day.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, the spectacle you've been waiting for.
One of the most powerful, compelling stories ever told. You will see how a master dramatist propels her audience toward the play's eventual climax by careful manipulation of irony, by the use of comedy in the midst of tragedy, and by her skillful use of violence both on and off the stage.
Oh, damn it!
Now the lights went out and the picture started.
The fall of the city. The city's name was
the City of New Orleans.
It existed beyond the beginning of history.
It was a small city, a humble city. Its people had little in the way of worldly goods.
Then, a fearful thing happened. The God of all life looked down upon the people of the city and was displeased. And because he had been angered, God pointed his finger and visited upon the city oblivion.
In an instant, the wind whisked them all away.
Splashing through my living room, the rain it keeps on pouring down. I load it up before I drown. And I move on up to higher ground, where the westward sun and the water washing away. Mississippi mud sailing away to the Louisiana flood.
In. One day, a stranger appeared in the can.
This is George, the voice began.
Help!
Help! Help!
Hey, what the hell?
And he said to the people,
we're showing the American people the meaning of merciless justice.
What?
Oh, no.
I'd like to stay here all day, but I gotta go to Vegas.
And then the plane took off. And then the plane went down. And nothing was ever the same about the way George saw the world or his place in it.
Welcome to this gig. It's like the one you had before, where you swim just to keep with the tide. Whoa, one more time. I will work myself tired just to pass out in my clothes again. Burnt out another night. There he stands at the edge of the world, watching the spaces go by. Whoa, here he stands at the edge of the world, and he's trying not to drop before his time.
It's front page news. Bush wanted. This white trash escaped from the authorities. He is wanted for the rape of New Orleans.
Where is he now?
Somewhere out there.
What is that supposed to mean?
I don't know. I don't know.
It's great.
Oh, Jesus.
Just great.
They're lost, the trooper thought. Lost in the hurricane zone, where there's only one way in and out. Amazing.
Whatever.
Meanwhile,
in Time Stand Still Land.
As soon as phone service was restored,
they're sending you a message.
I'm nuts.
I am speaking to the kidnapper, the president.
Yes, I am!
Surrender the president at once, or we will take action.
No dice.
Please come back now. This is ridiculous.
There was no answer.
No! It's ideas like this that get people killed!
It's all part of the game. Jack threw the phone, plopped in the water,
and looked up.
Where the hell's that George? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. You should be careful wandering around the trench at night.
Jack, the kidnapper, and George had stopped at a dry hammock, its once lush branches now skeletal from the storm.
George? Where you at, George?
Here I am.
There on our left came the crashing bush.
He came now out of the coconut trees with filthy body, unwiped nose,
limping, dirty, dead leaves hanging from his shock of matted hair. His trousers had been lowered for an obvious purpose and had only been pulled back halfway. One eye was a slit in his puffy cheek. But even after what had happened, George remained unmistakably George.
5 years have come and gone since we saw the ruins of Hurricane Katrina. With the distance of time, we've had time to take stock of our situation.
George looked down at his feet, squinted his eyes, and scowled meaningfully.
We find ourselves debating the course we have followed.
Now that it seemed he would not be murdered, he was burdened by another primal concern. I'm going to lose my job.
I can't believe the news today. I can't close my eyes and make it go away. How long? How long? As we sing this song, how long? Too long. For too long. Tonight, we can be as one. Tonight. Tonight. Broken bottles under children's feet. Bodies strewn across the dead streets. But I won't heed the battle call. It puts my back up, puts my back up against the wall. Sunday, bloody Sunday. Sunday, bloody Sunday. Sunday, bloody Sunday. Sunday, bloody Sunday. Let's roll.
Jack, the kidnapper, tousled his prisoner's hair and said,
"Bit rough out there, wasn't it?"
It was a bit rough. It was a bit rough.
George nodded submissively.
How's everything with you, Jack?
Jack seized and shook him.
I admit I scared you back then.
Jack had him by the hair.
Still scare you, don't I?
Jack held George by the wrist in a vice grip, holding George writhing.
George dangled in the stranger's iron clasp.
God have mercy.
Jack hoisted him to eye level and said,
"Frightened?"
George's mind raced,
talking quickly now. "I have money. I have $160 million cash, U.S. dollars. Let me telephone my wife. I'll tell her to get the money and put it in my car and leave the car right in front of..."
You little jerk. As Jack's grimy fingernails closed upon his throat, George inventoried the multiple sources of his agony. The unhealed crucifixion hole in his left hand.
Bruised flesh 10 inches in diameter over his right rib.
The goat-related goring in his groin.
Scratch on his forehead. Split lip. Great scab on his right knee.
Sore behind enough to go to a graveyard.
Blood. Slashed chin and neck and chest.
Burns.
Bruised, thumped and beaten.
In addition, he was missing an earlobe, which Jack had shot off at point-blank range.
With a swollen and bloody gash with chip.
And soon, a crushed larynx. He thought...
I thought we would succeed quicker.
Meanwhile, far below the Earth's surface...
Station 19. I spotted two people on foot.
14 minutes.
Get a jeep with a winch over there fast.
Cronenberg, get over to Station 19. They're coming across the bridge.
He's alive.
Can't keep a presidential visit to a city the size of secret.
And when you find him, you'll kill him?
Yeah.
Ma'am, I don't know. You just have to wait for the feds.
What feds? What's going on?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. What is it now?
We got a fugitive!
Oh, my God!
On the loose here, people!
Oh, Jesus.
He's armed!
Oh, Lord, no.
He is dangerous!
Help. Jesus! Call a priest!
Farting nuts.
Get some water or something.
Jack and George had awakened to find themselves out of beer. George's mouth was ash dry. His eye was shot with pain and hangover.
George looked back at Jack.
"You got any more of them Darvons?"
George said sharply.
Jack glowered.
"Punk ass."
The man with the crooked jaw shrugged.
"I can't think of nothing else to do."
In the absence of beer, George settled for Midol's methaqualone and monkey tranquilizer.
"I don't think we need to be subliminal about our views on prescription drugs."
"Please," George implored, "make the dope work as swiftly as possible, given the rapidity with which his hangover was advancing."
"Oh.
Turn on the radio," Jack said.
Okay.
"There is hope.
In infamy.
On Eyewitness America. Crisis. Day one.
Bring you updates just as soon as they..." "Oh, wait a minute. There they are.
What?
Jack stopped and looked up.
And his kidnapper.
There's me and that ruggedly good-looking guy right there.
Dumb George waved.
Hi, Mom.
TV had gone wild. A news report announced that the runaway president had surfaced in the hurricane zone.
Great.
It's the same story on every channel.
America's most wanted.
Is this deja vu?
Again.
You can't hide from them.
Like hell, George said.
Don't even try. They got that tracking device on you.
God!
They can find you anywhere. Oh! Anytime.
Bright lights started strobing everywhere. In the reflection of the puddles. In the fronds of the sable palms.
Hey, what the hell?
He spun his head.
Is it cops?
Mm-hmm. Jack grinned back.
George got very nervous.
My skinny white ass goes straight to hell. I get caught. Do not pass go. Do not collect any hurricane money.
A siren drowned Jack's reply.
There. We're in a tight spot.
George cursed Jack for bringing him such misery.
Oh, yeah? That's what you think.
George cursed his dead brother, Jay, for bringing him such misery.
Hey, what's you ask?
That was weird.
Suddenly.
Dear George.
What?
Now what?
George.
Who?
Your concerned brother.
Who?
George's young brother, Neil.
I am your brother, George.
Who?
Come on!
Neil's eyes were wide.
Your brother.
Each knew the identity of the other.
Your brother.
Who? Jim.
No.
Steve.
No.
John.
No.
Tommy.
No.
My father.
No.
Bianca.
George, where will this lead?
Neil asked. You know, Bob, I don't know.
Life has been too darn hectic lately.
Jesus Christ, George. Shooting up urine. Like heroin.
What?
He stepped back, looking less certain, and Neil went on.
But I believe we can turn things around. I am deeply sorry that you are hurt.
George gave a disconsolate whimper.
He was muttering and about to cry.
Please forgive me. George, please accept this expression of concern. It comes from my heart.
And suddenly things turned ugly.
My problem is George Walker.
You what?
George has forsaken us, finding he likes the raccoon action more than his family.
What? Yes, I don't think I ever said him.
For he has more than his normal amount of stomach gas, which regrettably he vents a lot.
Neil, wrinkling his nose, said,
it would be nice to see George getting his head shot off.
Judas Iscariot, you miserable!
George, I know we're kidding, but they got this depression on. I got to do for me and mine.
Damn!
George cursed his other brother for bringing him such misery.
We're in a tight spot.
Lest George forget what it is Poppy looks like, here is a relatively recent shot.
Damn! We're in a tight spot.
He went berserk.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's killed at least 10 other...
Wow, this guy's crazy.
Yeah, he's holed up over there.
Hold up.
I mean, call me crazy, but I got a bad feeling about this guy.
All right, then, let's do it.
Okay.
Back and load. TJ, round the back. Do it. Christ, don't move!
Christ, where's the Stoli? George was getting dizzy and mad.
You been drinking tonight, sir?
Hell, he was loopy on Midol's Johnny Walker monkey tranquilizer and pure criminal adrenaline.
And it feels good!
Approach the vehicle.
Hell no.
No excuses, just get in the car.
Damn. We're in a tight spot.
Then, out of nowhere, a figure in gray was approaching. It was a state trooper.
Damn. Tight spot.
George cursed the trooper for bringing him such misery.
Damn.
At first, George didn't notice that the state trooper...
Hey, what the hell?
...was a cute, hot lady trooper.
Both hands up in the air.
Needles of rain stung George's bruises.
He looked wretched.
Wordlessly, the woman walked towards George. Weapon in hand, she looked alarmingly capable of homicide. George felt himself keeling.
Whew!
And steadied himself against the scabby tree trunk. He was getting rattled.
Yeah, I...
George scowled and shut his good eye.
This is a nightmare scenario.
George's bungled pharmacology fueled vivid, horrific visions.
Both hands up in the air.
Then, out of nowhere in the nightmare, the woman trooper turned out to really be another person.
George watched her suspiciously.
Different faces have the same wicked purposes.
George shielded his eyes.
Let's see here.
The cute hot lady trooper had turned into George's...
My what?
Into George's...
My what?
Into George's...
My what?
Into George's wife.
Oh, Bishaw.
George Bush screamed.
Laura! Laura! Laura!
Psycho bitch.
Always it. Come and get us covered!
George snatched Jack's .357 and somehow managed to shoot the trooper in the center of the chest. The woman fell backward, landing with a splash. George crowed again, waving the .357.
Woohoo!
He whinnied. George brandished the smoking gun.
Proudly so.
George grinned suddenly.
I'm the great white hunter.
The opaque, mad look came into his eyes again. He stabbed the air with his index finger.
It's a f***ing felony, case you didn't know.
He wouldn't endeavor to commit a first-degree felony unless the moment presented itself. He shrugged.
Wait, now there's no excuse left for not violating the law.
Now he was playing with the gun, spinning the cylinder and humming mischievously. The wrongness and maddening stupidity of it. Killing a cop. I'm allowed. Killing a lady cop.
George sneered.
People need to remember. I kill women.
George could easily envision his prison tattooed. Lady cop killer. They'd never get away now.
Let's roll this.
Never. How had a harmless insurance scam come so unhinged?
And the battle's just begun. This many lost. And tell me the past one. Trenches dug within our hearts. Mothers, children, brothers, sisters, sworn apart. Sunday, bloody Sunday. Sunday, bloody Sunday. How long? How long? As we sing this song. How long? Too long. For too long. Tonight, we can be as one. Tonight, tonight, tonight. Sunday, bloody Sunday. Sunday, bloody Sunday. Let's roll it.
I'm free, and freedom is beautiful.
There he is.
Jesus, hell.
That's nice work, Bob.
George tried to run away. He almost did.
Oh, no, you won't. Oh.
He got caught.
You're under arrest.
The policeman grabbed him roughly by the back of the coat.
Lock that naughty monkey up right away, he said.
What? Monkey?
Yeah, monkey.
No, because remember, I'm the president.
It's a felony to lie to the FBI.
Well, why the heck didn't anyone tell me this before?
How hard it is to admit the truth.
That's reality.
Come on, the policeman said to
George. As soon as we could, we took the president to a holding area to check in.
He's got a history, doctor.
I don't know why people say that.
Violence.
Just trying to spread around the joy.
Antisocial sex.
I enjoyed it.
Repeated violations of the permanent emergency code.
I'm glad I did it.
Insolence. Defiance. Disregard of authority.
When you're the president, you've got unlimited power.
Out, fathead.
Do what?
Take him to the little room for the questioning.
Boy. We need to talk to you.
I can't see because I can't hear. I can't hear because I can't see.
Somebody yanked off the blindfold.
Yoink!
What?
George's eyes watered at the sudden brightness.
What's
the worst of the Bush boys reared his ugly head again.
Dad! Dad, sir, to you, son. I'm nobody's sweetheart. Ah!
By this time, it was obvious I could beat him.
You're living the dream, Chief.
Yeah, well, you also wrecked.
What do you say? How'd you know about that?
Word gets around, boy.
George's father motioned sarcastically.
Crud.
Why are you being so ornery?
I feel battered and disillusioned. One damn shock after another.
I can't explain it.
George said miserably.
He hadn't expected to see his father waiting.
This indictment raised old questions about my involvement in the Reagan shooting.
The idiot George shook his head.
After all these years?
Several ugly, gossipy tabloid newspaper articles appeared saying there was a rift between President Reagan and myself. It was an exciting, nail-biting time.
The old man said with a dark chuckle.
His voice was growing warmer.
I can still remember the day. In 1980, I was beginning to get a political itch.
I want to go to the presidential porn club.
I became too restless in my job and decided to strike out on my own.
I pulled some pranks in my time.
Ironically, while John W. Hinckley Bush Jr. left the Washington Hilton Hotel, Ronald Reagan was giving a little
speech to the Elks Club.
Bush spoke marijuana regularly.
And he doesn't know George Bush.
Tonight, I can report to you...
Hey, Doc!
Oh?
Here's a little something we learned in CIA.
Then I shot President Reagan.
What?
I was in control. It was an arms for vice president's deal.
The old man thought of a sublime irony.
When?
Still enjoying the irony, George's father shut his eyes.
Huh?
George failed to mask his disbelief.
Come on, that's just nuts.
Then his father turned to look back at George contemptuously.
But there was a problem.
George squirmed under the look and shifted his feet nervously.
The entire Republican Party took a drubbing because of George W. lost in the swamp with my good friend getting reamed in some way.
Well, that's a dang lot, Poppy.
Huh?
What?
George said, cupping a hand to one ear.
Who? No, Poppy's good friend?
He was an extremist. Everyone called him Jack.
The name Jack brutally jarred George wide awake. George's mind raced. He looked warily at his father. How much did his father know?
What's...
The old man was studying him as if he were a museum piece. His mouth stretched in a grimace, like a hideous smile.
I guess what I want you to know as a father is this.
George's father observed calmly.
Having Jack kidnapped you was a brilliant idea.
George concluded it was a nightmare. And shut his eyes.
Batten down the hatches.
The next minute,
boom, stranglehold.
George is flopping like a fish on a line.
I'll take your head and...
The job of being president never stops.
Yeah, level 5. Right. Get off your ass.
What's going on?
Pressure on every journalist to find out just who the hell they had arrested was intense.
It was a very delicate situation.
Whoever leaked it probably did it because they were so angry that Bush didn't die.
Absolutely.
I agree more.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I have a press conference to stammer through.
Ladies and gentlemen, the ex-president of the United States.
Members of the White House Correspondents Association, here I am.
What about those photos of you strangling your child?
Hello, word for White House.
Adolf Hitler, your personal hero.
Are you planning a violent overthrow of the government?
How does it feel to be a racist scumbag? Racist scumbag.
How come I can't have intersexual conduct with the 36% of the people who like me?
We saw the ugly pictures from New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, your reporters would go nuts if you knew the true story.
Do you testify before the commission?
You know, I don't testify. I mean, I'd be glad to visit with them.
Douchebag!
Douchebag!
Certainly, that was a train wreck that we saw in New Orleans.
Who said that?
Suddenly, George began screaming wildly.
What ignorant son of a bitch said that?
George's sullen father stood up.
In the end, it was worth it.
The old man carried several coils of dirty rope.
A rope and some other stuff in a big bag.
What's the rope for?
We're having a hanging here tomorrow.
Then that curtain flapped in George's empty head.
And
he forgot what he'd been driving at.
My message is this. Frontier justice. All you need is a good strong rope and a tree to hang it from.
So you support mandatory sentencing?
Yes.
George got very nervous.
All right, all right.
He swallowed.
What place do you think you have in history?
Dumb George looked up, scowling.
In history? In history, we'll all be dead.
What?
Okay.
You understand?
No.
We'll all be dead.
Is anyone here not a downer? Anyone?
Now, it's not going to be a perfect
one.
But it doesn't have, you see.
They took him away and shut him in a prison.
Captured and jailed.
George had to sit on a bench all by himself, and nobody even looked at him.
God, I hate that guy.
Gosh, I don't think I ever said I'm...
The door of the office was suddenly flung open.
Hey!
Keep your hands where I can see them.
A few tiny perversions, and I'll blow your head off.
I don't know why people say that.
Prisoner 16115. Suspect is key linked to terrorist groups.
You know, Al-Qaeda's a...
Come here. Check this out.
Gosh, okay. Oh, my God.
Prisoner is currently being interrogated. We will break him. I assure you he will be broken. We have ways.
weird stuff, butt stuff.
I always thought it'd be rectal trauma.
George sat in the county jail for 3 days before a doctor came to examine his butt, which was approximately 36 degrees out of alignment.
36% of people like me. We are not afraid.
Saw the first lady. You could tell, of course, that she was devastated.
George thinks I have a problem, and I do. It's chicken, George.
Mrs. Bush.
Got a husband.
I couldn't speak.
You all seen him? You bust him.
They go back to the corner of the jailhouse and peep to see Bush.
Meanwhile.
Damn, we're in a tight spot.
George wanted to get out.
Can't sleep in this hoose gal.
He climbed up to the window.
Let's see here.
To try the bars.
Make him that good these days.
Is a man named Bush in there?
Do I?
She reaches her hand through the bars and touches Bush's hand.
George.
George shuddered violently and gulped.
George's wife laughed at him. She dropped her fingers and then put her hands on her hips. I could get you strung up on a tree so easy it ain't even funny. And she frowned disapprovingly at him.
Well, I'm one mean motherfucker, George proclaimed. You don't believe me? There's a lady cop in the hospital you should see.
What do I care? George looked away from her. Tramp, he said.
He shrugged unhappily.
You lousy tart.
Oh, pshaw.
Listen to me, you crazy bitch, he said fiercely.
You got floozy ideas in that chicken head.
Baloney.
George's voice grew soft and persuasive.
Just take off your clothes.
Her face grew angry.
You can fry ice in hell, you bastard,
she said darkly.
Well, of course you're supposed to get undressed. Look.
What are you, high?
He leaned over and pointed. Right there.
What you got there, sonny boy? This thing. She laughed.
George started something little he didn't finish.
You goddamn tramp,
he said viciously.
Lighten up, motherfucker.
She twisted fingers into a fist.
Gumbag.
Then hit him. He cried out and fell over.
Tell the jailer not to bother with his meal of bread and water today. He is fasting till the killing's over.
Just then, the watchman came in to catch George.
There's already a guy in here.
Hey.
But he was too big and heavy. The watchman fell over. And quick as lightning, George ran out through the open door.
Will you stop? Come back here, stop!
Whoop, my finger's the gun. Bang.
Bush is gone. Hurrah! George was on his way.
And down came George.
Then I hear a big splash
down in the street, outside the prison wall.
Said George wetly.
Free, and freedom is beautiful.
He was out of jail, but that fool Bush never even made it to town.
Bush!
You!
I beheld the shade of him who made the great refusal held by cowardice.
Somebody recognized him.
You?
People were awakening to anger.
Jerkbag!
How do you know?
That's how I know.
Who began spluttering insanely and hurling jagged hurricane debris at the president.
He started it all. Get him!
They chase Bush on foot.
Come out, wherever you are.
Appearing in broad daylight with police everywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, there's only one word for that. Idiocy.
What?
The negotiations have failed. Shoot him.
Don't shoot.
Just hold tight. Up against the wall, you mother...
George got very nervous. George saw his opportunity.
I'm not a lame duck. I'm a sprinting duck.
When he tried to run away, she tackled him, held him down, and punched him in the testicles.
This is the man, and I mean the man.
Guards came rushing in from all sides.
You're under arrest!
Again.
George sneered in an attempt at bravery.
Now, evil soul, you are caught.
All right, maintain.
George.
Somebody shouted.
They cool.
George?
Do
what?
My, what a surprise.
It was his friend, the man with the yellow hat.
It was Jack. George Bush screamed.
Jack calmly reconfigured George's face with the butt of an Ithaca shotgun.
But it's quite a story.
First you get out of jail, and you're still captured.
The man carried two long-handled nooses, a loaded .38 special, and a 5-pound bag of soggy monkey chow.
I considered killing you, blowing your three pitiful teaspoons of brain matter all over the hurricane zone.
I think an indictment is in order.
Yes, sir.
George was carried off in a cage. He felt so ashamed he almost wished he were dead.
We're facing an enemy that would likely torture us.
Suddenly,
George
looked up.
Well, boss! Well, these little men finally caught up with the criminal of the century. Looks like the chair for George gonna electrify me. I'm gonna go off like a Roman candle. 20,000 folks chasing a rabbit through yours truly. Goddamn! Sucked all the power right out of the stage. Gonna shoot sparks out the top of my head and lightning from my fingertips. I'm George, and I'm feeling 10 feet tall.
Looks like George is right back on top again.
Get the hell back in there.
Well, they don't have them group toilets here no more.
I want the court date to hurry up and come so that Bush can leave this town and never come back. Never.
Right. Bureaucracy has committed murder here in the greater New Orleans area, and bureaucracy has to stand trial before Congress now.
George drew himself up.
I'm not going to talk about the case. I've been asked this a lot. My answer is consistent.
He said irritably.
Insanity.
The hurricane hadn't actually driven him insane, but that's what he intended to plead at the trial. The Alzheimer's defense was another promising option.
And whoever's at the top of this totem pole, that totem pole needs to be chainsawed off.
Hey, look, let's...
It's not just Katrina that caused all these deaths in New Orleans here.
Someone must pay.
Osama bin Laden will pay.
Oh, my. Anyway.
And logically, that someone should be the smirking son of a bitch,
what?
The glib thief,
who?
The mangy prick who'd fled like a hurricane-proof coyote.
I'll
staple a flag to your butt and mail you to Iran.
What?
This press conference is over.
This morning, George was curious the moment he woke up.
What's...
Because he knew it was a special day.
The trial. We're going to a trial.
Who?
Bush's trial.
He stiffened.
Well, you know, I made a decision to put somebody on the court who hadn't been a part of what they call the judicial monastery.
What?
I put Alex Trebek in jeopardy on the Supreme Court.
Jesus, you're thick.
And where was this special court?
It was right here.
The people of the United States of America versus George Walker Bush.
I came away good about the session.
I look in the little box that the jury is sitting in.
My people.
He smiled happily.
Yeah.
I've never seen this many black folks in the same place at the same time.
It's totally black.
Oh, no! There's got to be a friendly face out there somewhere, I tell. There's Justice Scalia. There's Hillary Clinton sitting on the front row, rolling her eyes. Hey, boys.
Take one.
George cleared his throat and spoke in a queer, tight voice.
I'd like to take one, too, Dad.
Scared, son? Don't be. I love you at times like this.
I know, Dad, but how can you be I still don't see how you can be my defense lawyer and the people's prosecutor all at the same time.
Easy, son. This way I can personally see that you're persecuted to the full extent of the laws.
That's my dad.
Tribunal is now in session. God bless the United States of America and this honorable tribunal.
Objection! Sustained!
What?
Monkeys.
Monkeys, yeah.
Well, that's just great.
George, please take the stand.
Me?
Now stand tall, Porge.
Will you raise your right hand?
Gosh, okay.
Your right hand. Your right hand. Your right hand.
Okay, forget it.
Will you please tell the court your name?
My name is Bush.
Your full name?
Mr. Charlie White, country ass Hussein Bush. This must be serious, because this is the first time I've ever heard Bush use his real name.
I'm honored to be your guest.
He was caked with soggy leaves and dried blood.
Fetid marsh fumes doesn't hide it.
Bailey! You got instructions to clean up the beast.
You believe one solid week without bathing.
The rags he's wearing give off a stench that's offensive to the
dignity of this tribune.
You're not exactly smelling like roses either.
Objection! Sustained!
What?
There's a charge against you.
I had anticipated.
The president immediately pleaded no contest on a single count of income tax evasion. To avoid, he said, a long trial and to spare the nation grief.
Oh, no!
Objection!
Oh, yes. Couldn't agree more.
Again.
Go ahead and testify. Sit down and answer questions.
And they had a lot of good questions.
Why should you hold back?
I think one of the things that people want us to do here is to play a blame game.
George smiled helplessly.
We got to solve problems. We're problem solvers.
The flaw lies in the brain.
Objection! Sustained!
Let us warn our friends that they endanger their own careers by defending this
answer.
Bush, Luke? Why be a coward?
George gulped, and his smile grew more fawning.
It was my interest in civil rights which led to my becoming a crippled...
George was about to cry.
Because of my stand on the racial question. Because of my sensitive social conscience.
At once he started to cry.
Just take a pause, Mr. President. While you gather yourself in your very emotional times, I understand.
He's a martyr. He thinks he's a prophet. But he's a coward. He's just playing a game. He can't do it. He can't change it. It's been going on for 10,000 years.
For decades.
Stand up, please, George.
Let me talk to the...
Shut the hell up!
This is George. Most of you know him. Now, what will happen to his family without our town to help him?
Okay, fine. How many acres and innocent?
A full pardon.
He'll be out of here in no time.
Women will want to get to know you.
Don't you see what you've done? He hasn't reformed. He's pure evil.
No, one of those.
Oh, only you knew what he was thinking.
This court fines you $3.
Oh, but maybe this letter here will get you out of it.
Gosh, okay.
I offer in evidence a decree signed by Adolf Hitler.
Poppy's good friend.
Objection! Sustained!
In a queer, tight voice, George began screaming wildly.
I'll kill you! I'll kill all of you! Especially those of you in the jury!
Wow, that didn't go well.
Allow me to expose this hoax by direct examination. Proceed, Doctor, but do not turn this hearing into a farce.
Oops, too late.
And an outlet for the pain as well.
My case is very simple. I call my first witness.
Paul Cheney.
Vice President Cheney,
said George, slightly mollified,
is the greatest ally in this struggle.
Fellow Americans.
Dick's a good man.
The President of the United States.
He has a good heart.
George Bush.
Well, he's a good man.
Shamed our nation and the world.
What?
And purposely misled the American people.
I'm
most dishonest and reprehensible.
Your Honor, I object to the entire line of questioning and ask that it be stricken from the record.
Cheney, what a goofball. Got the only trial lawyer in the country who's for me.
Homeowner.
That's all.
Very well. You may step down.
Your Honor, at this time, we would like to call out witness. Be seated.
Well, only 1 in 2 million people has what we call the evil gene. Hitler had it. Walt Disney had it. And?
President?
Adolf.
Bush.
That's possible. I believed him when he testified.
Yes. Behold this marvel. This living paradox, this missing link in an evolutionary chain.
Wouldn't Darwin himself agree?
Who?
George scowled.
The aftermath of Hurricane Katrina will go down as one of the worst abandonments of Americans on American soil ever.
It's undoubtedly a great crime. Murder. Brutalities. Torture. Atrocities. Responsibility for the most malignant, the most calculated, the most devastating crimes in the history of all mankind.
George snarled at him.
And I did it on my own.
I would like to ask you, who bears responsibility for this? Is it the administration?
Gosh, I sure hope it's not the administration.
Isn't it incumbent upon this administration to immediately have accountability to find out what went wrong when at any time this could happen again?
You know, Bob, I don't know.
Where does the buck stop in this administration?
Gosh, I'd...
The president? You see, you seem to think
I take responsibility. What a mook.
He doesn't understand. He just doesn't understand. He understands.
Ah,
You almost had me.
A man who understood nothing.
Let me make sure you understand.
So there was nothing left to understand.
But it doesn't happen. See, you seem
to may not hate him, but you don't understand him, and you want nothing to do with it.
I don't know why people say that.
Whose problem it is? The president problem.
Sure.
We gave the president unprecedented powers.
So he will be held accountable as the head of the government for the federal response that he's already acknowledged was inadequate.
Certainly that was a train wreck that we saw in New Orleans.
People want us to play a blame game. I guess.
Blame the president.
What? Who said that?
Blame the president.
Huh?
Blame the president.
What ignorant, low down.
Blame the president.
Slanderizing son of a bitch said that.
Blame the president.
I don't know, man.
Another outburst like that, and I shall hold you in contempt.
I don't know why people say that.
The real complaining party at the bar in this courtroom is civilization.
On every side, I heard wailing voices.
One tangible piece of evidence.
George wondered if his name was on that list the cops had found in the cabinet.
Gosh, I sure hope it's not.
Individual acts of immorality have larger repercussions.
The issue is much bigger than a person.
Yeah. That's what you think.
Call up apparitions from hell.
Now, look!
Do what?
Three apparitions appear through the boiling cauldron.
Three bad options.
The first, a disembodied head.
You ask me to endure reliving a grief so desperate, a thought torments my heart even as I prepare to tell it. But if my words are seeds with fruit of infamy for this traitor, I will both speak and weep within your sight. You will hear why I am such a neighbor to him as this.
A neighbor, that's a remarkable expression.
How, through his devices, death. How cruel it was.
I don't know why you say that.
I shall describe. You can tell from that if he has wrong.
We had moved these patients up here thinking that we were going to have this rapid fire evacuation, and then the feds apparently pulled the plug.
The worst abandonment of presidential support.
I cried to his human shape in that great wasteland. Have pity and help me, whichever you may be.
Gosh, okay.
George's tone grew decisive.
Give her some water.
What are you doing? Get him alone! You hurry! Go! She drowned.
Our country is pursuing a new strategy in eliminating poverty.
George spoke proudly.
For God's sake!
Now, it's not going to be perfect, but it doesn't have
to be. You're not even conservative.
Well, I'll clarify that for you, sir. I'm a rock-ribbed Republican.
My people, tequila drinkers.
Don't pay no attention to that, Alky.
I call you my base.
The city of New Orleans will never be the same.
People are quick to opine.
The guy dismissed the question with a wave of his hand.
People opine all they want.
The order of nature, it seems, has gone awry.
That drug addict taking advantage of this lawless situation. That's a knucklehead. President has been doing some awful, awful things.
George shrugged, a creepy, lopsided shrug.
America's still a nation at war.
Damn you!
His country is under lock.
We made up our mind. We made that part clear.
The second apparition. A bloody child represents a primitive cesarean section.
Like a gun. Wrong.
Babies, two babies dehydrated and died. It was unbelievable. Dead people around the walls of the convention center laying in the middle of the street.
Women in the streets.
In their dying chairs where they died right there in their wheelchair.
And there's...
I tell you, I couldn't take it.
A good friend of mine just died. A lady died this morning. Who died to me?
We missed this opportunity. The president missed it. The people in New Orleans were left behind long before the vicious winds and violent waters of Hurricane Katrina came along to wash them away.
I heard a couple of people said Bush didn't respond because of race, because he's a racist, or alleged that. I reject that.
The concept of race.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the result?
George's voice grew soft and persuasive.
The Eskimos took over. That's how all those terrible things happened.
George chuckled.
It was the fault of those damn Eskimos.
He seems nice.
George's position has eroded, not because of an impeachable offense, but because of an accumulation of crud.
Corruption, violence, family, father, and guilt.
I mean, that's just great.
You've ruined it for us.
What are you talking about?
The Bush name.
What?
The third apparition, a child crowned with a tree in his hand, symbolizes the young
Jeb Bush.
Jeb. Wish I could have been at his inauguration, too. What are you
just feel bad about Jeb.
What?
George's father spoke unbelieving.
You killed Jeb.
Yes,
You executed your brother.
My personal sacrifice.
George looked coldly at him.
Made a lot of sense, in that he's out of the mainstream. Oh,
you're an abomination.
Feeling now abandoned by the family.
For Jeb.
He takes matters into his own hands.
It's like this here.
Call me arrogant, but I have a dream. To eliminate all the usual suspects. But no, I gotta pretend I like them.
For God's sake!
Do what?
Shut up, I'm sick of the president!
Come on, man. This is ridiculous.
I've suffered mightily. That's really important, as far as I'm concerned.
Have you no pity, then?
George shrugged.
I still feel that. Way.
Who were the bodies?
I don't know.
No.
I just don't know.
A lot of this is face to face, and especially riding by, seeing all the people on the side of the road bloated up, and just all the smells around you. I mean, from the people lying dead, rotted. It's a lot more gruesome than you think.
George shrugged.
I think it's part of a divine plan.
Oh, what in heaven's name is he talking about?
The Gulf Coast is still coming through the dirge.
Heck.
And you'll find that the bodies rotting away there are very black.
George smiled helplessly in an attempt to make friends.
But the point is that we're going to work together and come up with a solution?
You can't be serious.
These men died for their country. Send flowers to their bitches and hoes.
This was a man with no conscience whatsoever. No identifiable emotion behind what he was saying. No visible state of mind. He seemed completely unaffected.
And that's reality.
How many deaths?
How do I respond to...
You killed how many?
Plenty.
And today, we don't know yet.
I don't know why you say that.
Come and count the bodies. I command you to see for yourself.
Gather them now and bring them to the foot of this wretched bush.
George got very nervous.
All right, maintain. Stay cool.
Later... Much later.
And again.
Each cast-off body shall come like the rest.
Constantly.
It's not the killing that is the problem. It's disposing of the bodies. That's the problem.
Let's hit them with a chipper tonight.
Indeed, to Mr. Bush, black folks are tossed in the garbage.
And I saw a wonderful opportunity to do that.
Once we were men, now we are stumps of wood.
How about getting this debris removed?
Your hand should show some mercy, though we had been the souls of serpents.
Screw them.
What?
The nation gap.
Oh, how could you?
Order. Order.
All the victims. More victims who
order.
Show you.
Order.
George stiffened, and a scowl came on his face.
I've done everything in my power to kill the American people.
Don't you say?
Objection!
It was like everybody held Bush personally responsible for all of it.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I couldn't agree more.
In light of your unbelievable contempt for human life.
Everyone in this chamber knows this to be true.
Blame the president.
What?
Men who in executive positions actively participated in the extermination of human beings.
The citizens got the right to protect themselves.
Murder of children.
George spoke in a queer, tight voice.
It's better for all the world if, instead of waiting to execute a gendered offspring for crime, society can prevent their propagation.
That's it.
All right, move right along here.
Simple murders and atrocities do not constitute the gravamen of the charges in this indictment. Rather, the charge is that of conscious participation in cruelty and injustice, in violation of every moral and legal principle known to all civilized nations.
And there you go.
George sighed.
He fully recognizes now that he is up to his neck in blood.
Blood and bodies will put an end to my dreams.
The defense rests.
We, the 12 members of the jury, unanimously find George Walker Bush guilty of the assassination of President Bush.
What? Who?
Jeb.
Jeb.
This was too bitter for George. His face was twisted.
Jesus hell.
The verdict is guilty on all 10 counts of first-degree stupidity.
Is this your verdict, so say you all?
Guilty. And you can't get fooled twice again.
Now, out of the terror, rose another desire. Thick, urgent, blind. Kill the beast. Cut his throat, spill his blood.
What's the rumbling?
It's a monster! Kill it!
The courtyard in the court.
toward your 7,000 faces are turned to the gate. What's that they're saying?
Kill it!
Kill the traitor!
Kill
the traitor!
Guilty.
That's just great.
However, before we proceed to the formality of sentencing the deceased, I mean the defendant.
The door was suddenly flung open.
Surprise!
And Jack appeared. George hadn't counted on an intrusion by the kidnapper.
Oh, yeah. Now, according to the penal code, the punishment for a presidential kidnapper...
Come on. You know the penalty for harboring a known criminal? Crucifixion.
George grinned malevolently at Jack.
Justice will be meted out.
Suddenly...
Objection!
Do what?
Your Honor, I object. The witness doesn't have to answer that question. He's not on trial.
What? Jack grinned malevolently at George.
Neil catapulted himself inside.
Brother, what can I do to help you?
Neil's eyes were wide. You killed my brother, and you hurt my dad bad. George could hear despair in Neil's voice. Did Mother tell you what it was that Father did that has tied the whole family into knots? Neil told George excitedly.
Gosh, I don't think I ever...
George's father was the father of Jack.
Huh?
Jack's father was George's father.
George's face was drawn.
Your position has been usurped.
Why the heck didn't anyone tell me this before?
George demanded defensively.
Jack continued to grin.
Oh, that's just nuts.
You stupid.
The two Bush boys faced each other. George looked at Jack open-mouthed.
You're the president's son. And...
Tell me about it.
George shook his head.
My father.
His voice broke a little.
And my mother.
No.
Jack shook his head.
Shame really my mother.
Do I?
George looked in astonishment
at his mother.
Gracious!
He said it was out of the question.
He looked in astonishment at his old man.
Nothing could be further from the truth.
He looked in astonishment at Jack.
Who, as we learn later, came into the world covered with blood, not of woman born.
Meaning, asked the president,
Jack's mother was George's father's first husband.
What?
No?
No. Not the girls anymore.
Yes.
What?
That's when he saw Pat Robertson.
You know how it is when late-night poker games get to be a groping match.
Pat Robertson will destroy anyone who stands in his way.
You know, it is a little appalling.
Poppy's good friend?
He called me Patty.
Don't forget that.
And he was slobbering drunk.
I could still go either way.
I said, okay, I want you to kneel down. He said, okay, Patty, I'll kneel down. So he knelt down. I said, I want you to pray with me. He said, well, Patty, I don't want to go that far.
Oh, yeah.
George's father said to Robertson,
well, he was attractive like Adolf Hitler.
Was George's old man grinned back.
I was frustrated, so I wasted no time in getting Pat pregnant.
But you see, that's where you start.
Robertson giggled and looked back at old man Bush admiringly.
The filthiness.
His voice was growing warmer.
The pillage. The rape.
The Russians.
George's dad whispered. Robertson sniggered.
Having sex on the streets.
I love you,
said Bush wetly.
I love you so much. That's why I got pregnant outside of wedlock.
Yeah, you all die.
George's father winked somewhat mechanically at Jack.
I am the luckiest dad in the whole wide world.
Yeah.
Pat Robertson winked somewhat mechanically at George's father.
But his mother was Pat Robertson.
We loved our illegitimate Jack Bush Robertson Bush Jr.
George glowered.
Why wasn't I told?
I mean, he was conceived to bring about vengeance on the revolting sellout whiz kid, George.
In the end, it was worth it. George W. was a problem and disappointed everyone.
I mean, that's just great.
Made me more determined than ever to bring him to justice.
What?
People need to remember. I am George W. Bush.
The name's Mud.
Mud, spelt in capitals.
George began screaming wildly.
My name is George. Get me?
That's a shame, George, but I expect even if your folks had called you Gandhi...
No, they didn't.
...you still would have grown up to be a world-class dickhead.
I don't know why people say that.
Jack's laughter had a ring of triumph.
The penalty phase will now begin.
The tribunal sentences you to...
George sneered.
I don't care what happens now.
Oh, really?
You know, there's a higher judge to appeal to in terms of strength.
too far! Fail it! Tag the animal!
That's when he'd asked for the club.
What?
The club?
Get a club.
Assume the position, Mr. President.
You're gonna pay royally, bitch.
Is that it?
It was a red pronged instrument with a black plastic grip and a chrome key lock.
The club, George said.
Is that how it is?
Jack stepped forward and approached George. So what? One huge hand held the club high above his head like a crucifix. George's kidnapper brother wore a smile that blazed.
Go ahead, be a hero.
The sight unnerved the bogus president to the point of whimpering.
That's what I thought, punk ass.
That's what I'm talking about.
He fitted the pronged ends into George's papery gray lips, stretched in the shape of a permanent scream.
Woohoo! In your face, Bush!
George retorted. The procedure would have been physically impossible were it not for the pre-existing crookedness of those saurian jawbones.
Dumb George felt his face.
He must have looked like a f***ing circus freak. The club pushed the top half of his mug into pudgy creases like a Shar Pei puppy. The nose pugged nearly to his brow, pinning his bloodless tongue to his teeth. The rest was all maw.
Then I turned for this traitor, unlocking and locking, and there, a dreadful form of justice is seen.
George's good eye blinked to put it in focus.
How cruel it was.
The pain was hideous, as if the bones of his face were spring-loaded to blow apart. He wailed. With rubbery arms, he flailed uselessly at the thing locked in his mouth, so heavy that it caused his head to nod forward.
As far as most people are concerned, either he's guilty, or if not, he at least flirted with terrorism. So who cares if he's locked up?
It's about time somebody outsmarted Bush. Tell him that this old lady, glad he got time.
Jack hooted. Jack held up a small chrome key and, dropping his voice, said,
"What choice have you left me?"
He took George by the hair and dragged him, blubbering.
"What choice?" "Sure, now you're sorry."
Jack pulled George down the path, stopped short in the clearing by the river.
"Here's the deal."
Jack displayed the chrome key, the only thing that could unlock the club.
"Abandon all hope, you who enter here."
Jack threw it in the water. Mournfully, George stared at the circle of ripples where the key had plopped into the water.
He just blinked and looked stupid.
Magbush now feels the full weight of guilt for the murders he has committed.
George stared morosely at the water. The rims of his eyes were red. Potomac fever.
Let this be a lesson to you, just in case there is reincarnation.
When you die, the last living reminder of hell will be gone.
What?
He was in the center of a cleared space by now. He hesitated for a minute, looking around defiantly.
How many times have I heard that before?
All right, folks, let's finish quickly. They still remember to use stones.
How do we know that?
I don't remember.
Come on, everyone.
I get one up his butt, it's a million points.
No one is to stone anyone until I blow this whistle. Do you understand?
Jack stooped, picked up a stone, aimed, and viciously hurled his stone at George.
He held his hands out desperately.
The rock struck George a glancing blow from chin to knee.
Stones again! Now look! No one is to stone anyone! He did not
bar!
Amen! Hallelujah!
No sooner had Reverend Robertson exhaled the word Amen.
We believe the American people have had enough.
And
in the play's final scene,
New Orleans has started to change. Death will come on in.
Scandal plus time equals tourist dollars.
The gold is mine, the silver is mine. I am once more going to shake all nations.
Great Jesus.
This play tells not only of the fall of
Bush,
but of the potential fall of mankind. We leave the play with a profound awareness of the tragic destruction of order by chaos. A tale told by an idiot.
Stand
Presto George was tried and executed for eating the livers of captured American pilots.
The end. Good. Great.
The old man George's gaze turned out the window, drifting again.
Crud.
Watching as the cool drizzle fell in needles of rain, George's father said,
"I'm going outside today. Staying right here till..."
The old man's eyes fell on a chunk of bone in the window box.
Something Daddy should have done a long time ago.
A deformed human jaw covered with cobwebs lay in wet hay. Locked to the bone was an adjustable iron bar popularly used to deter auto theft. The old man wore a faint smile.
God, we're lucky in this country.
His voice broke a little.
We have so many blessings.
Jack roars with laughter.
Meanwhile,
in hell, George Walker Bush screams.
That's all, folks. Good night, Seekers.